time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Leeds United were winning. It was all looking good. Yeah. Even last night when they got the first goal, I was at an event last night and I went, well, that's done. That's the end of it. I spoke to some. They went, that's it. They'll go on.
What event was you at?
Oh, it was some little golf. Golf event.
Nice. Yeah. Know what I was doing?
Go on, what was you doing? Watching that.
Watching that.
Yeah, there you go. So Derby ended up winning 4-2 and it was quite a shock. And we are now joined by Tom Carnduff, football journalist.
I'm not very happy, Tom Carnduff.
Talking for about the Leeds playoff. Tom, where did it go wrong?
Well, where do you start? Pretty much that 20-minute period from just before half-time to kind of the 55th minute, the 60th minute, where they completely collapsed. I think the pivotal point was probably that first Derby goal. Complete defensive mix-up. And at that time of the game, then the belief is in, the fans are back into it, the crowd are annoyed, and then seconds later, pretty much the same thing happens again. And luckily, they don't concede from it. But yeah, pretty much a game that I think summed up probably Leeds' season in the end. Belief at the start of it, and it just kind of didn't come to fruition in the end.
Yeah. It started so well. Everything was going so well. And we were talking on this show quite a while back and saying, wouldn't it be great for Leeds to get back, after all the trials and tribulations of the last few years, for them to get back in the Premiership? Yeah. It was really looking forward to it. And even last night we thought, this is great. And it's just, it's almost like a tennis player, or you're 5-1 up in the last set, and then people come back. They couldn't close the game out, could they? Mm.
Yeah, it kind of felt like that, really, where Leeds have a fantastic record of scoring first. I think before today, it was pretty much the Wigan game and Aston Villa, where they obviously let them walk the goal, and they should say, that they hadn't won when they'd scored first. So obviously in that game, leading anyway on aggregate, you grab the first goal, you could see the crowd was starting to get into it. There was the belief there.
Yeah.
And that moment of madness in the 44th minute, I think that's the trigger point. Derby are believing and they're back into it.
It's just horrible to get that far. Do you know, when I was at school, I was a bit of a naughty boy at school, and in my last year at school, the headmaster called me in and he said, Mr. Spurling, he said, right, you can either leave school now, I was 15, and not do the fifth year, or I'm afraid if you do want to stay here, you've got to do all of the fourth year again. Now, of course, I chose to leave, but that must be pretty much how Leeds are feeling at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, oh, no.
Got to do the fourth year again.
We've got to do the fourth year again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And while they were doing pretty so well.
While they're doing so well. Oh, we've got to go through it all again? How you feel, yeah.
Pretty much it is, and it's trying to balance that, what has been a fantastic season, between that. Ultimately, promotion has to be a multi-year project. I think I've kind of always seen it as that you always need to have a bit of a stepping year, and finishing 15th every year isn't really that kind of building stepping stone that it should be. It's probably going to be that season looking back, and there's numerous missed chances, but then it is trying to balance that with, ultimately, this is still that mid-table squad that have done it last season and the season before, but the difference is they've got a manager this year who's just pushed them to the absolute limit and just got every little bit out of them that you don't want to say. Maybe it is probably actually the best way to describe it. Have really overachieved with that group of players, and it's trying to that coming crashing back down to reality last night, where maybe with some of the decisions made, some of the actions, some of the kind of consequences that came with it, maybe that is the reminder that it is still that mid-table squad, and sometimes your luck, your ability, your fitness runs out, and it all just kind of combined last night. And fair enough to Derby, completely capitalised, got the momentum going, grabbed the goals, and have won probably one of the all-time great playoff games.
Yes, man. I mean, I wouldn't consider you a mid-table team. The fact that you was up there for so long, you've ended up third.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I perhaps wouldn't say that. What was your take on the Bielsa with that when they let him score the goal and go out the other end? Do you think it was right decision for him to tell him to do that?
It's a hard one. I've always found it frustrating, and I think it's been more evident this season where a lot of players stop for injuries that aren't head injuries. And in that instance, Jonathan Kadjia is not going to be back defended, really. Leeds play on, Leeds score. But ultimately, what through all the Spygate, for everything that's come with that, that essentially Marcelo Bielsa pretty much holds principles quite high. And he spoke afterwards of that he sees English football as kind of a champion of fair play, and that must how it's viewed abroad. And he just felt it was the right thing to do. I personally wouldn't have. I think at that point in the season, you want to win, especially against Aston Villa, which could well have been the playoff final if last night went to it.
Yeah.
But it's happened. Ultimately, it didn't really cost Leeds much in the end. But I think if I was in this situation, I don't think I would have done it.
It is a tough one because there's so many factors to that as to who stopped, who sort of let, you know. But I do agree that we're kicking the ball out too soon when there's not a head injury. I would agree with that. It was a little bit suspect. We didn't quite know what was wrong with him. But you pretty much know, if you're on a football field, you know if something bad has happened, 9 times out of 10 you hear it. You know, there's a crack or someone screams. Well, he's like, oh, wait a minute, something bad has happened there. But I think that we've got to look at the rules for that as to what is... what we should be kicking the ball out for.
Yeah, definitely. And to be honest, I think it's going to be the players are going to, or the people are going to suffer the most in the long run are the players, because it's now going to get to this point where people aren't going to stop playing, the referee's not going to believe they are injured, and there's going to be players who are seriously injured, but because of the track record of it happening, no one's going to believe them, and ultimately the only people are going to suffer are the players in the end.
You don't want to go over someone's, we just stopped playing. Oh, he's only broken a nail.
He's
chipped his nail varnish.
Exactly, and that's what it is. But then there is going to be points where players are going to be seriously hurt, but it'll just be that assumption of, oh, this always happens, now we'll play on. So, yeah, they're probably the only people who are probably going to, you know, in the long run, that's who it's going to affect the most.
But for next season, here we go. Got to do the fourth year again. But what would you would you change anything? I mean, you know, I mean, you had a good season, but you just, you know, fell apart at the end, I suppose. But what would you do next year to try and cement it that you're going to go through next year?
It's got a bit. They've got keep Marcelo Bielsa. That's the ultimate number one priority. And I think the way he spoke after the game last night, there's suggestions that he might well stay. I think it's more that what Leeds have got to say and kind of sell that next year they're going to back him to a point where they can do this again. The squad itself, there's a lot of good kind of squad players that you'd have around who have now got the experience as well. A lot of them didn't have promotion experience. They've now got that kind of this year to look back on it and almost learn from it a lot as well. But I think another defender, they're very light in the centre-back areas. A striker as well, because in Kemar Roofe, when they don't have him, Patrick Bamford's really struggled throughout the season. I don't think the way Leeds play probably suits him. You're kind of looking at those kind of creating that core. They've got Calvin Phillips in midfield, who is exceptional, and it's just having that player behind him and that player in front who can then form that kind of really good spine going through the team to then play off them. Because when Leeds got close to the playoffs under Gary Monk, they did have a very good spine, and the rest of the team kind of played off that, and they just need to find that again, which remarkably, despite the season they've had, has been missing at times. Mm. And with Leeds not being a very cash-rich club, they're going to have to be quite savvy with the signings, but there are some good free agents going. The loan signings have really been ineffective, so that's probably an area where they're going to have to improve next season. And they've now got this experience. They've now got the experience of this year with the same manager, a few new faces, that they can go that extra step. It's still within touching distance, even though they've got to do it over 46 games again.
Agreed, yeah. Well, listen, we wish you all the luck for the coming season. It's going to be a long one. And I'm sure that most people would like to see him back in the top two. And fighting for
the only difference
up.
Is Bell that when I was offered to do the fourth year again, I could leave.
Yeah.
Leeds can't leave. They've got to do the fourth year.
Well, as long as they
all over again.
As long as they don't go down.
No,
that's what you don't want to see.
No.
Listen, Tom. Thank you ever so much for your time, Tom Carnduff, there.
Thanks, Tom.
Football journalist at Sporting Life. Listen, we're going to be talking a little bit more about Eurovision. What is your favourite Eurovision song and why? Don't go anywhere.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
If you were just listening to our interview with Joseph Whelan, former X Factor contestant, he would have said that X Factor, the aftercare was reasonably decent, or the producers at the time, were you could pick up the phone to them and you could chat to them. Not so much aftercare after X Factor, but at the time they would treat you nicely and they would help you.
Yeah, I would say though it's a completely different show, and it would have been a completely different kind of aftercare. I mean, you know, aftercare on the Jeremy Kyle show is now you're talking about people with real issues. Mm. I mean, obviously, yeah, people with real issues on X Factor, but it was a little bit more light-hearted.
Yeah.
You know, on this one, this is serious things, accusations and lie detector tests, and you're a liar, and you know, a drink and drug problems,
and teeth problems. Yeah.
But I must say, yesterday, I do know that quite a few people were coming out and saying, hang on a minute, though. They also helped an awful lot of people. They sent a lot of people to rehab, and there was a lot of successful stories.
Okay.
So, you know, it's half a dozen of one, isn't it?
Like I said, I think there's something bubbling behind this. There's something more to this story than we know. We don't know what happened off air.
I think Jeremy, people got it in for Jeremy Kyle.
But this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It seems that he's the figurehead.
They got it in for him.
There's some sort of story bubbling behind this that is not to do with the producers, it's to do with Jeremy Kyle. And I feel sure something's going to come out.
As Kenneth Williams said in Carry On Cleo, infamy, they've all got it in for me.
Well, if so, it's...
You know what that means?
They've got it in for me.
No. In Cleopatra... Mm. Infamy. Infamy.
Yeah.
It was a clever line. Infamy. They've all got it. Infamy.
It's a double entendre. MPs launch an inquiry after deaths of reality TV guests. Yeah. ITV faces particular scrutiny over treatment of Love Island and Jeremy Kyle participants.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Love Island, you know, a lot of people were posting this up. Love Island is still going ahead, even though we've had two suspected suicides.
Hang on.
From the contestants.
I think the thing is, though, it's a bit of a difference. The thing is about Love Island, okay, so it's created stars, and maybe the thing is that when they come off Love Island, that if they lose their fame, which they often do...
Because there's nowhere to go. There's no substance behind their talent.
Of course not.
The difference is, like having Joseph on earlier,
yeah.
From X Factor... Joseph was a singer. Yeah, he was a singer before he went on there.
Joseph's a singer.
He can go out and work.
Yes.
And he can still go and earn a few quid.
Yes.
Whereas
right.
People on Love Island,
yes.
Once they've done their PAs and turned up at the nightclub for 6 months, what do they do after that?
Well, there's the difference between the programmes. Jeremy Kyle, they're not going on there for fame. They're going on there to get 250 quid and a night at a hotel and do whatever they do on telly. They're not going. They know they're not going to get fame out of it. They're going to get but one episode.
Yeah, but some of them have come back for more episodes.
Yeah, yeah,
The return of.
The return of.
The tooth. Yeah. You know.
But Love Island, I can't stand the programme, but it's half popular. You watch it.
Well, I watched this series, but only purely because my wife and my daughter are sort of
They absolutely love it, don't they? I don't think you can blame Love Island, the programme, for these people's, what happens to them afterwards.
We have said that, a lot of these people that are on these shows have got no substance, their career, they haven't got a talent, and they have to go back to normal life.
That's because they want the fame.
Yeah, okay. excuse me. We are now joined by Love Sport's very own Dr. Pam Spurr.
Here she comes.
From Wham Bam. Thank you, Dr. Pam. I love it.
It's quite apt, that, isn't it? Wham Bam. This is what we're going to be talking about.
Wham Bam, it's Dr. Pam. She's here to discuss a bit of drinking, partying, and sex lives of the older generations, too, because we're talking about June Brown. Listen, Dr. Pam, we had this sort of vision. June Brown has come out and made this statement at the age of 92. That she doesn't want to have sex no more. Please tell me sex finishes a little bit earlier than 92.
Oh, gosh. You see, you've bought into the myth that, there's no such thing as wrinkly sex because you don't want to imagine it. But there is, and it's good for your health.
Okay.
Studies show that the longer you maintain your sexual relationship, the better health you have, better heart health, better circulation, and it's really good for you. But you've got to remember, June says she gave it up when she was probably about 82 or 72 or something. Even a lot longer ago.
It was 82, wasn't it? 18 years ago.
Her husband died.
She was not 74, I think.
So
that
was about
74. That's it. Quick maths.
Yeah. Well, is this attributed more to women or men, Pam? Do women still fancy a bit of the other a little bit later in life?
Well, they've got less to do, haven't they?
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Oh, naughty.
There you naughty. Is it more women or men?
Well, you've got to remember that the mechanics of sex for men gets a bit trickier with age if they haven't looked after themselves.
Yes.
So more men are likely to end up not having sex than women.
Well,
because on the whole, we can, women, we're blessed with the fact we don't have to get an erection. We just have to get aroused.
Yeah.
And of course, if a man is having erectile difficulties, which increases the likelihood as you age, then that means that they're less likely to continue maintaining their sex life. But boys, you got to remember, if you want to have a good erection right into your older years, then you have to look out for what you eat, how much you drink, stop smoking, because those things have such a massive physical effect on your ability to have an erection.
I've just stopped just then, as you said it.
Or not massive, if you pardon the pun.
Yeah.
You were just about to shovel in some junk food or something.
Yeah.
We just had a Kit Kat.
I've stopped everything. but obviously, we got tablets for stuff like that now, haven't we?
Oh.
Well, of course, but why pop a pill that might have side effects for you? Because you don't know if you're one of the men who'll have a side effect, when you can just maintain a bit of physical health.
Yeah.
Just try a little bit harder like that, and it has countless benefits, not just your erectile abilities.
What about some of these women now? Let's take June Brown out of the equation. She's obviously 92, and 92 is just a little bit too
and
far for me.
And she's a legend. I love
June Brown. She's lovely, yeah, she's great.
I just imagine that, I'm not going to imagine, but she'd still be having a fag.
She still smokes.
She does.
Yes.
She still smokes.
Yes,
yeah.
She does.
There you go. It's a horrible fault. I'm not going there. I'm taking my mind away. what about some of these women? Are they still on some of these? I think we spoke to you about this before, Pam, about some of the dating apps. Is there a dating app or a sort of app for older generation?
Yeah, I mean, even a lot of the major companies, like something like eHarmony, have a kind of older section, usually over 50. Some of the over 45s, and there are a lot of dating apps and sites for people in those age groups.
Yeah.
You just have to Google. But be careful, because I was Googling for some research on the article about dating apps and sites for the over 45s. And I came up with one site was just about, getting it off.
Yeah.
Well. Having it off because you wanted to have, a MILF.
I haven't heard that terminology for years.
Having it off.
So I'm choosing my words carefully.
No, yes, you have to.
Still mourning.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, so beware when you Google. If you want a dating site, make sure you don't go to one of the sex sites that caters for people who are interested in slightly older sexual partners.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
Well, let me just ask you this, Pat. I mean, to be honest with you, I know quite a few people that go on those, whatever it is, Tinder and Plenty of Fish, and there are quite a few,
Bumble. Yeah.
And I do know this for a fact, that both sexes, I'm not just singling out one sex. They all say, one guy in particular that I know used to use them specifically for one-night stands.
Yeah, and the thing is, you have to be really careful if you're looking for more than a one-night stand.
Yeah.
That, you know, be careful about if they quickly escalate in the messaging. Like if you swipe each other and you've hooked up on the app or the site or whatever, and if they start immediately messaging sexy stuff, then that's like a red flag. If you're not looking for just sex and you want more, so I always say to people, well, why did you go meet them if all their chat and banter was about sex? I mean, then that's what they want. So people kind of, you know, oh, I can literally knock a few heads together with my date coaching, what people say to me. Well, I just thought maybe they were funny too, and maybe it wasn't all about sex. If it's all about sex and the banter when you're messaging each other, then that's what they want.
Yes.
When we talk about the older generation, let's say, I'm going to pick a number here, let's say 70 and over.
Right.
Okay. All right. Let's go for the 70 and over. Surely that. They're just having a kiss and cuddle these days. They're not going for the
just
the
want
big,
companionship. You mean?
Yeah, they're just, you know, like you say, companionship. Mm. They're not going for the big stuff, are they?
Well, you say that, but having read all the research in recent years about sort of medical health, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of people over 70 are still having sex.
Yeah.
Not enough as far as I'm concerned, because a lot of them feel, you know, they buy into this myth that, oh, we have to give it up because we're getting on. And they buy into the wearing a cardi and slippers and just letting life slip by. Don't do that. Be like June Brown. Okay, maybe she's not having sex, but she's living a really active life. I mean, that's what we should all be doing, because life is so bloody short. Sorry,
it certainly is. No, you're quite right. You're quite right, Pam.
Agreed.
You're quite right.
Agreed.
But the thing is about June Brown, I mean, let's face it, I mean, there's also another, who's not quite as old, this is 86, Sheila Hancock. She also is a fantastic woman, and she's very active. But they're very lucky, aren't they, June Brown and Sheila Hancock, because they've got such great jobs. They've got jobs that really and truthfully, they keep
you
young.
Yeah.
Keep you young.
Well, yeah, because you, as you take on new roles, and well, although June Brown, of course, is in EastEnders, but even that, it's never, you know, I've met a lot of people from EastEnders, and I'm a massive EastEnders fan.
Me too, Pam, yeah, I am too.
Every day is different, you know, you're learning new lines, you're not doing a repetitive job, and someone like Sheila Hancock, who's been in a few dramas in the last couple of years, again, every new project is a totally different, you know, challenge.
That's very true.
And that's what we all need to keep our minds lively and healthy.
What is
keeping on, you know, new challenges.
Yeah. Pam, what about, I mentioned to Johnny earlier, I said, look at Joan Collins, right? Now, she still looks fantastic. The cheekbones are lifted up.
Well, she puts the wig on.
Well, this is where he's ruined it for me. The cheekbones are up past her ears. She looks fantastic. She's had about 300 husbands, and she keeps herself. She was in all those great films, and then John tells me that she wears a wig, and he's ruined it for me.
She does.
She still looks great at her age. Surely she's probably still having a little bit of a go.
Well, she's got a much younger husband. That probably helps
keep
her invigorated.
It is. I find it.
He sucks his blood out at night, and he doesn't know
that.
Oh,
I'm glad you said blood there, Pam. You were going to hit the dump button there.
So there's no, in essence, really, Pam. There's no age that we can sort of hang our hat on, if you like, and say that's when we hang our pants up.
It's when you can't hang your hat over it. That's when you
hang your party pants up. Your lucky pants, yes, when you hang your lucky pants up. Well, listen, if you're an older single, you know, you do what you want. Either you seek out a companionship relationship or you seek out a full relationship that includes sex. If you're an older couple, again, you have to decide what works for you. I would never judge a couple who live in a sexless marriage because they both want that. You know, that their companionship and their life is more important, and they, for whatever reason, they've given up on sex.
Yeah.
It's only when one or both partners are unhappy later in life about, you know, there's no sex happening. then that's when there's trouble in the relationship. But otherwise, you know, I'm never judging anyone who gives up sex.
Do you know what? I just remembered my nan.
Let's not have any of those stories.
No, you don't want to go there.
I know. But do you know what? She'd lost my granddad years and years ago. And then she had a man friend. She used to call Jim.
Oh, Jim. Yeah.
I mean, proper miserable old man. This was
he really?
But
Randy Jim.
And you'd go around there, and obviously Jim always had a suit and tie on, because old people always had a suit and tie.
Certainly did.
You know, never wear a tracksuit.
Yeah.
It was suit and tie.
Suit and tie.
And a trilby hat. And it would be, even my dad would go, oh, dear. Mum's got her man friend round Jim. And they were both about 75. But obviously it was just a bit of companionship.
Yeah.
You know?
Just well, I think a lot of people do have that, don't they, Pam?
Yeah. And you might just want to think that because it's your gran. And you don't want to think about Jim having
it put me right off,
with her.
It put me right
but
off my dinner.
I think that's wonderful. I was late last night. I've been out to dinner. I was catching up on First Dates. And there was like an 86-year-old and with a 78-year-old, and they were having a fantastic date. And they were going to go, you know, out and see 42nd Street in the West End. And I was like, yes, this is what people need.
Yeah.
You know, you don't stop wanting to be loved or giving love just because you're older.
Yeah, brilliant.
Well, I'm single, Pam, and I'm 53 in September.
Yeah.
So
got to find something.
I'll be honest with you, I can't go on those apps. I just can't do it. I've never done it.
I was going to say my nan would have had you, but she's gone.
There you go.
A bit of a shame.
I'm sure she would.
Pam, listen, it's always wonderful having you on. We love having
Thanks
a chat.
Thanks for
with
having
you.
Me. And let's not forget about Saturday and Sunday night, 10 o'clock, and the linked podcast, the show.
Absolutely.
Wham-bam, it's Dr. Pam.
Wham-bam, it's Dr. Pam. And do you know what, Pam? You're on after us on a Saturday. We have the best of Bella Sperling, and then it's wham-bam with Dr. Pam.
I love
and,
it.
Cool.
What a great schedule that is.
Beautiful.
It's a perfect schedule.
Thanks.
Let's hope the radar does it some justice.
Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful. Pam, no doubt we'll speak to you next week about something else.
Oh, yes.
Because we love it.
If not, we'll just ring you up.
We'll ring you up anyway. We've got some problems. There you go. Wham, bam. Dr. Pam, who's on Love Sport at the weekend.
She's great.
You've got to phone in and you've got to have a listen to
her. Do you know what?
I'd go to her.
Just to go listen to her talk.
Yeah, she's great. So, yeah.
She's got a fantastic voice,
she
doesn't she?
Is. Look
it's like she calms you down, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She makes your heart beat about, well.
It's not like us. We don't calm you down.
No, we don't.
Stick with us. Coming up, we're going to be talking a little bit more about Jeremy Cole. And talk to us about your best Eurovision songs.
Yeah, yeah. That's all coming up for you.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Tiger Woods is back in town. Can he do it again?
Tiger.
The eye of the tiger. Listen, one of the greatest comebacks, obviously, was speaking last night about Derby County coming back against Leeds.
That's that Danny Dyer, says it.
Is
Derby
it?
County.
Derby County.
Derby County, isn't it? It's sort of Derby County.
Always say it at the side of your mouth.
County. Yeah, you have to put your mouth right there.
Yeah.
County.
You know,
Derby County. All right?
You know, he nicked that off of Ray Winston.
Yeah, of course he did.
Ray does that.
All right.
All right. You see what I'm saying?
Well, Ray's down there.
Ray's down there. Go on. Go on, do you, Ray.
Don't gamble responsibly. You got to gamble. Gamble. You got to say gamble.
Yeah.
Gamble responsibly.
I love it. It's very good. Okay, so Derby County, massive comeback last night. Tiger Woods, probably the greatest comeback that we've seen.
In golf, yeah.
We wrote a song about him, which we're going to play a little bit later on. The Bell and
Could
Sperling
he do it again, son?
Tiger Woods. Yeah, he can. He's on. You know, he's playing.
He's on form.
Yeah. So it is possible.
He's suffering with back injuries, though.
Yeah, that's the only sort of problem we've got with him. But he's had his back fused. We're joined now by Andy Roberts, content manager for Golf Magic. Well, obviously, got the USPGA coming up this weekend. Andy, what's the news about Tiger? Is he looking good for this?
Yeah, I mean, all eyes are on Tiger Woods really this week, as you've kind of alluded to. The first groups are just literally teeing off. Woods is off, up and running at 1:24 UK time. He's playing alongside Brooks Koepka, who won this tournament last year, and also reigning Open champion Molinari. He's returning to competitive action for the first time, Tiger. So he hasn't been playing since he won at Augusta. And
is he
as you
not?
Say,
it
was the greatest sporting comeback story of all time. I think, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about that. I think, you know, he would have been prepping behind the scenes for this. And I think, you know, one thing about Tiger now, this modern day Tiger Woods, is that he's managing his time properly. He's won two of his last seven tournaments. You know, when you include his tour championship win, which was at the back end of last year. But Tiger Woods is well and truly back, mate.
The new improved Tiger Woods, would you say, Andy?
I think so, yeah. I think it's certainly the modern day Tiger Woods. I think one of the biggest changes that I've noticed about him is really his character and his personality. I don't know if you guys have seen some of his press conferences recently, but he's kind of a comedian with the press now. You know, he's joking, and he didn't used to do that.
No.
You know, this is no longer a guy that would maybe turn down a youngster's signature walking off to the car park. You know, he will stop and have a photo or whatever. He's kind of got with the times, and he's just very happy to be out there playing again, as you said, having gone through what he's gone through.
Do you think the psychological advantage that he has made him win last time? Because we spoke to a few sports psychologists, and you know, obviously he was in a very bad place for quite a period of time. But when he won the Masters, even just walking up the 18th, it was almost like he blocked the crowd out. He knew he still had, you know, a couple of putts to do it, but he had to focus. Now, there's a lot of people get to a point like that and they bottle it. He's got something over everybody else, that he's got something, his character in his brain that can actually close the deal, hasn't he?
Yep, I think so. And I don't really care what, you know, any of the guys say that Tiger Woods is Tiger Woods. You know, the guys who he's coming up against, all these young players like Brooks Koepka and Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, they grew up watching Tiger defeat Fields by 12 shots. Just seeing his name on a leaderboard today scares them. Honestly, it really does.
Yeah. What about? Yeah. Just talk to us about Rory, by the way.
Yeah.
We get so annoyed with Rory, don't we? Because he's so good, and I know that, you know, a lot of my mates have always spoken about he lets himself down with his putting. He'd seem to have sorted his putting out with a free mind, and he's worked on the psychological areas as well. But it was so up and down, wasn't he, in the Masters? How's he looking going into this?
Yeah, I think he's got a fantastic chance, really, of a fifth major title this week. You know, that would flag up his hat-trick of USPGA titles following wins in this tournament in 2012 and 2014, albeit on different golf courses. He's got off to a very solid start this year, as you kind of said there, with 8 top 10 finishes in 9 starts. And he also won the Players' Championship in March. And I guess, you know, it was somewhat of a great shame to see him finish tied 21st at the Masters, going into that tournament on the, you know, riding the crest of the wave. But it's just, you know, that one tournament he wants so badly to win at Augusta to complete the career Grand Slam, and he just can't do it at the minute. And, you know, but he's playing great, and this is a golf course, Bethpage Black, this week that really should suit his game. You know, it's going to favour the Bombers, of which he is, you know, top of the tree.
Yeah.
And if, as you say, if his putter can stay hot, he's been working tirelessly on it with Brad Faxon, you know, renowned putting expert, and Phil Kenyon as well. If everything's together this week, then he's going to be a very, very tough man to beat.
Yeah, it's a long course, isn't it? So it is going to, like you say,
it's brutal.
Very quickly there, Andy. What about John Daly on the buggy? Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's great. What's
going on there?
That's caused a bit of controversy this week. I think he's got some arthritis going, and he's right knee, and he can only walk 6 holes. So the USGA have granted him a buggy. Some people have sort of laughed at that. Some people said, you know, it's fair enough. He's a major, a former champion of the USGA, you know.
Nick Faldo says, I think walking is an integral part of being a pro golfer. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Not too happy, is he? Not too happy.
Tiger Woods has even had a little stab at him this week. He said, you know, I'm not sure about it. I won the US Open on one leg. So, you know, we'll see what happens this week.
He's got a point. At the end of it. He's got a leg.
He's got a leg.
Absolutely, yeah.
Listen, right, Andy, thanks for joining us. Andy Roberts there, content manager for Golf Magic. It's going to be an exciting one. You'd like to see Tiger in the running for it. And just on that, on that John Daly one.
Yeah.
John Daly used to hit the ball so far.
Yeah.
He used to have the big wow golf club, right? Okay. And he must be so contorted because he used to hit the ball so far that his body is in such a state that he can't walk more than 6 holes. I think even you could.
Is it a case of daily, you are in a right old state.
It pretty much is. Yeah.
I think it is, do you?
So much so that he has to have a golf buggy. But there again, all the times I've played golf buggy, you've driven it.
Yeah.
You just watch me, didn't
I? Love the buggy.
I mean, that is a proper golf buggy.
It is.
Me, you, and Chris Akabusi.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You're back with Bell and Sperling. Yeah, John Daly and the USPGA, he's now going to go round in a golf buggy, John.
I can identify with that.
Yeah, because...
That's what I'd do.
His knee has gone. But he did used to swing the club. When he used to take his backswing, it was like round and hitting his back ankle. Yeah. It was so powerful, his swing. It was just
powerful.
It was known as the big hitter. And I think it's just contorted his body so much that he said that he can only walk 6 holes on a golf course. So they've allowed him to use a golf buggy.
Yeah.
Nick Faldo on BBC Golf Podcast, The Cut.
Yeah. He's not happy.
The weather is key. He's actually talking about Tiger Woods. The weather is key here. He won in Atlanta in 100 degrees, and at Augusta, it was in the low 80s, and of course, it was hot and humid. Mm. Nick Faldo, just talking about Nick Faldo.
Yeah.
He was so great for us.
He weren't bad, was he?
He was so great
for
like as English golfers, because he's such a character, you know? I think we're sort of, we haven't really got that.
Lacking them.
Well, I think we are lacking a little bit of that, yeah. You know? Maybe.
Well, snooker's the same, isn't it?
Apart from Ronnie.
Apart from Ronnie. Who they got?
Got Judd Trump now, obviously. But.
Yeah. Son of Donald.
Yeah. He's not really his son.
Of course he's not.
No. I think we are lacking a few characters in various sports.
But we're going to be talking about Portsmouth versus Sunderland tonight.
Yes. We were just talking about Sunderland. We can't believe the, you know, where they've gone into that division. It's madness to think of a club of that size. You know, I remember a few years ago with Peter Reid running it, and it was, you know, and the supporters are fantastic.
Peter Reid, he used to be with Cluffy.
No, not that.
That's
Peter Taylor.
I always get them mixed up, you know.
Oh, dear me.
I don't know that. But I bet Stuart Rayner. Sunderland, he's a Sunderland writer for the Journal, Sunday Sunderland Chronicle. Looking ahead to playoffs tonight. I bet sometimes, Stuart, you can't believe that, you know, Sunderland are in League One.
Well, it's been a horrendous fall from grace. But it just shows, you know, you can have all the money of the Premier League if you spend it badly and you manage the club badly. This is what can happen to you.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? Do you think, though, looking forward now? I mean, you know, okay, so you beat Portsmouth, you get into the Championship. Where can they go from there? What have they got to change?
Well, I mean, they're really starting to get themselves on an even keel, but obviously it's going to be a long process. You know, they've still got players from the Premier League days who are on Premier League wages, and you know, regardless of whether they play well or badly for them, that's still a problem for them until those players move on. But you know, they're starting to sort of really rebuild the roots to that fan base that you were mentioning. That's obviously really important in terms of them progressing forward, because that's a big strength of theirs. And once they've cleared the decks financially in terms of the wage bill and what have you, they should be in a process to progress again. But I think people do overlook what big job it's been this last 12 months. And you know, there's no guarantee they'll go through tonight. There's no guarantee that they'll win at Wembley. But you know, I think people have got to bear in mind what they've come from when they look at what eventually happens this season.
Yeah. The good part about it is Portsmouth have never won a playoff match in 5 attempts. Won none, drawn 2, lost 3.
Wow.
With both of their home games ending 2-2 against Leicester in 92-93, Plymouth. You've got a little bit of that on your side, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the sort of the psychological hang-ups for both sides, really. I mean, obviously, Portsmouth have got had the edge over Sunderland in the regular league season games, beat them in the trophy final. Mm. Sunderland have got bad memories of playing Charlton at Wembley in the playoffs if it comes to that. So, you know, you can find all sorts of historical reasons as to why things will go wrong, and football fans will always sort of find those things. But they've obviously just got to hope, you know, that they made a big stride forward by getting a 1-0 lead in the You know, I don't think that's a decisively by any means, but at least it shows they can beat Portsmouth.
Yeah, but I mean, are you going into this game, of course, with Portsmouth being unbeaten against you, 7 home matches. So do you think this could break it? Do you think tonight could be the one? Let's hope, eh?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's really evenly balanced. I wouldn't like to say which way it'll go, to be honest. I wouldn't be at all surprised if it went to extra time and penalties. I mean, we've already seen, you know, in the League Two and the Championship playoffs, it's only really the Tranmere tie has been straightforward after the four of them. So it could be another thriller tonight, I think.
Yeah, I mean, what are the fans like now? Johnny Spurling here said earlier, you know, he sort of at school when he was in the fourth year, and they said, "If you, what was it again, John?"
Well, when I was at school, I was in the fourth year, and I'd been such a naughty boy that I got called in the headmaster's office and said, "Look, Mr. Spurling, you can either go into the fifth. You can either leave school now." And I was 15. And you can either leave school now, or if you want to stay on, you've got to do all the fourth year again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it must feel for Sunderland, you know.
You could end up doing the fourth year again.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that's the thing. I think Sunderland fans have really enjoyed this season because they've got the football club back to a degree. You know, there's a much greater bond, as I mentioned earlier, between the owners and the club now, which is really important. You know, they're bringing through more young players. They've had the novelty value of visiting new grounds. And, you know, for the first time in absolutely probably since the days of probably Roy Keane, they've actually been competing at the top end of the table. So it's been an enjoyable season for them, albeit they wanted to go automatically. But next season, that novelty value will be gone, of course.
Have the fans stayed loyal, pretty much?
Yeah. I mean, it was a disappointing turnout for the first leg, to be honest with you. But lots of reasons behind that. I think they've been averaging over 32,000 this season. You know, they've had the biggest crowd in the whole of the football league.
It's incredible.
You know, that shows you the dedication. You know, there's been some grumbling and there's been some disappointments that they finished fifth, but I think the majority of people are happy overall with the way the club has been, if not necessarily the way results have been over the course of the year.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the North East is known for hardened football fans, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got Newcastle.
Listen, you can't mention Newcastle.
No, no, but I'm just saying, both Newcastle and Sunderland are very passionate. But Liverpool, Manchester. Yeah.
It's, you know, you've got a great stadium, and you can't, you know, we're sitting here just talking about it earlier. We can't believe the slide of our club as big as Sunderland ended up here.
Well, I say it was years really of mismanagement throwing. I mean, there was plenty of money thrown around. You certainly couldn't level that accusation against Ellis Short, the previous chairman. But he just put his faith in the wrong people, and a lot of bad decisions were made, and they ended up throwing good money after bad, you know, racking up debts, and he just gets stuck in a bit of a spiral. And, you know, fortunately, Ellis Short, to his great credit, cleared the debts more or less when he passed the club on in the summer, and last summer, and it's allowed them to start afresh. And it really does feel like not a new club, but a really reinvigorated club, you know, even down to the stadium alight, where all the faded pink seats are being replaced by, you know, bright red ones. That's kind of a symbol of how the neglect of the club has stopped.
Yeah, great. Stuart, a lot of fans travelling the length of the country to get down to Portsmouth tonight?
Absolutely. I mean, every Sunderland away game this season, you know, you stop being astonished by it, really, because it's just become run of the mill. But the away support at every game has just been absolutely incredible. You know, there's been some grounds this season, where there's been as many Sunderland away fans as there have been home fans. And at Blackpool, they're even in the majority because of the problems at Blackpool. There's been some incredible moments for those travelling fans. So I just hope that they get the reward of another trip to Wembley and B, promotion at the end of it.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're wishing you all the luck.
There's another club. I've said this about Leeds. I've said this about Aston Villa. I miss Sunderland.
They're the names that you want back.
I want them back. I want them back in the Premiership.
Stuart Rayner there, Sunderland writer for Journal, Sunday Sun and Chronicle. Yeah, no, you're 100% right, John. Yeah. But obviously, we'll have to get the view of Portsmouth a little bit later on in the show and see if CSDF's still got that fan who stands up and rings the bell.
Yeah, ring my bell, ring my bell.
Giving your team a voice, Love Sport Radio.
You're back with Bell and Sperling. Some breaking news. Sort of breaking.
But kind of,
Man United chief executive Ed Woodward has vowed to financially back Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in the summer for the transfer window. So he's going to pile a bit of money in to go and buy whoever he wants. I would say that...
All right, Dave, get rid of that Manchester United music, please.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
The reason why is because it's the same as the Tottenham one, isn't it? Yeah. Glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur. But they used to have only got that song.
Yeah.
Load of rubbish. You need a Bubbles or you need Never Walk Alone.
Yeah,
I mean, look, Ed Woodward.
Not Ed Woodward from The Equaliser.
No, not him.
I can't help it.
He's going to back Solskjaer and give him plenty of money. Well, listen, you're going to go.
He would.
You're going to get 100 million for Pogba. Get him out the door first.
Get him out. Right? Get him out.
In fact, I don't even think you wouldn't get 100 million for Pogba.
Mm. What'd you get?
Get him out of the door.
That's
what I would do.
Get him out.
You've only got to see some of the fans' response on the last at Man United. I do believe he's the player that's... You've got to start with him. Get him gone.
Get him gone. Or they did say... We were talking the other day, I can't remember who we were talking to.
To build the team around him.
To build the team... No, surely not.
Look at what Razor Ruddock said in our show.
Yeah.
Razor Ruddock, he had a moment of clarity, Razor, and he said, you know, listen, the fella don't defend. He doesn't chase after players. He's lazy.
Yeah.
That's the reason why they got the second goal the other day. You know, it's all really well going forward, but you've got to do a bit of defending.
Okay.
There you go. We're joined by Jordan Cross, Pompey writer, for Portsmouth News. Going into the second leg of the playoff tonight against Sunderland. Obviously 1-0 down, Jordan. Not looking good, but you are at home.
Yeah. Leading playoffs, isn't it? You watch everyone else and you enjoy it and it's a thrilling minute and it's white knuckle stuff and you love it. And then your team get involved and you hate every second of watching
it.
It was done last night. I mean, the fight back that Derby had last night, so it could be done again tonight.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if you saw the first leg, but there wasn't much in it. It was a terrible game, to be honest.
Right.
And one moment of quality decided it. So, not much to take between the sides. And they've played each other. This will be the fifth time, I think it is, this season. So, obviously, the Checker Trade Trophy final, I didn't expect you to mention it. It's been tight. So, two sort of well-organised sides, but... You know, it's one goal. You know, it probably didn't score, but it's not away goals in the playoffs. So
yeah.
I get down to Fratton Park and everyone's up for it. And I'll tell you what, everyone, what did give everyone heart after Saturday was the reaction of just getting down to Fratton now and see what they're like down here. And everyone is bang up for it tonight.
Well, you were on, but you had a lot of games against Sunderland, and you were unbeaten. You've beaten, what is it? How many games on the run? Five or six?
What against Sunderland?
Yeah, in the league.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a fantastic run against Sunderland. It's up to about 8 or 9 before the weekend. Going back to 2008. So a long old while. But I mean, a lot. You know, it's Portsmouth. A lot's changed since 2008, hasn't it?
So. Yes, absolutely. It certainly has.
The only thing I would say is you don't have a very good history in playoffs, do you?
Ah.
Oh, cheers, lad. You're doing thanks for reminding.
Well, do you know what? Go on, I'm sorry. I'm just going to say, you know what we've been saying all morning? We spoke to someone about Leeds. Go back to my story when I was at school and I was kicked out when I was 15 and the headmaster said to me, look, Mr. Sperling, you've done the fourth year. Now, you can't do the fifth year, but you can leave school now or you can go and do the fourth year again. So, you know, if you lose, of course, you've got to do the fourth year again, haven't you?
Yeah, which is great when you've been down in League Two for the number of seasons we have and then up into League One. So, I think Pompey's natural order in proceedings probably is about the Championship. So, I mean, that's where everyone's really striving to get back and out of the community ownership and got some money, a degree of money. We're not kind of got the Arab billions or anything with Michael Eisner, but, keen to get back there. But it's the playoffs and as I referenced earlier, the drama, it all hangs on this one game. So, you know, it is exciting. For Pompey fans, they're probably going to be sort of on the edge of their seats and not really enjoying a moment of it, but they will get behind their team and create an environment where Fashion Park's well known for tonight. So it'll probably feel like a top-end championship match between these two sides and the setting, I would have thought. So, I'd rather not do another year in League One if I absolutely had, had a choice about it. But I'll take your point, it's not the end of the world when a club like Pompey was fighting for their existence not too long ago.
Agreed. Yeah. Jordan, have you still got that fan that stands up and rings the bell?
Everyone asked that. Yeah, Johnny Westwood. He's still down there. You don't want to be too near him on a match day, really.
Does he still do it? He still rings the bell, does he?
He rings the bell. He's in the Fratton end. He's kind of the Pompey choir up in the centre and at the back of the Fratton end, where the noise emanates from behind the goal there.
Yeah.
John Westwood, who changed his name by default to Portsmouth Football Club.
Did he?
Full of Pompey tattoos and whatnot as
I
well.
I love that. So, he changed his name by default to Portsmouth Football. That's fantastic.
I guess what he does for a living. He's an antiquarian bookseller, would you believe it?
No.
Antiquarian? Oh.
We've got to get him on.
Well, we've got to get him on. Jordan, we do wish... I wish you all the best tonight. I want another one. Portsmouth, I want him back. Jordan Cross says, Pompey right there for Portsmouth News.
Bell and Sterling on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.